Moncrief on News Talk.
Sharon Shannon there. Thanks, Sharon. Fabulous. Fabulous stuff. Anyway, we'll move on from that to the music that is the dulcet tones of Barbara Scully and Mary McAvoy for So You Think Are Adults. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Isn't what a great? Treat this I said, is. Good afternoon to you both.
Boat. Yeah, boat. We're on a boat.
So yeah, we're on a boat. Yeah. My son has had a terrible teacher this year, and I'm really reluctant to contribute to the collection for an end-of-year present. The class WhatsApp group is buzzing with Revolut requests, and I don't want to cause a maze of ruckus, but I know that many of us really think the teacher has been so poor that they don't deserve anything at all this year. I know the usual thing is a whip round for a voucher, but this teacher has been coasting, and my son's spelling is still absolutely atrocious. To the point, now I'm thinking I'll have to dedicate some of my time off over the summer so he's more prepared going into class in September. Should I say something and suggest we boycott a present altogether? Or will I come across as a cheapskate? It's actually not about the money, but I don't understand why we should be rewarding someone who's been awful at their job.
You go on that one, I have no kids.
This is, actually, this is around this time, and yeah. This around this time is a very live issue for
it
people.
It is a very live issue, yeah. And it's one of those issues that brings me back and go, oh God, thank God, I don't have to deal with that baloney any longer. But yeah, I mean, you know, I know by the time my youngest two were leaving school, it was onto the WhatsApp group and the Revolution, you know, make a donation and all the rest of it. But the thing about buying a present for the teacher, it's a token gesture. Do you know, it's not some kind of appraisal of their performance during the year as such. Because everybody knows there are good teachers and bad teachers and mediocre teachers. And a teacher who might be good for one particular kid might be more mediocre for a different kind of kid. It's not up to the parents to evaluate them. And that's not what giving a present is about. I also think it's great to teach kids, you know, that giving a token of appreciation for somebody's effort is an appropriate thing to do. And I also think, you know, I mean, teaching anybody who's, you know, had kids and remembers kids at primary school age. Like, not everybody'd like to be locked up in a classroom for hours and hours with a whole bunch of, like, whatever-year-olds. And especially in this country where our class sizes are still ridiculous. So give the teacher the goddamn present and get over yourself, missus, is my advice.
Can I ask, as an outsider to all of this, is there kind of a competition between parents for how much...
You see, there really isn't. Like,
no, but what there is, though, is that there'll always be one.
Yeah.
There's Mrs. Kelly, who organises it. And you can rest assured Mrs. Kelly will present the teacher with the flowers and the wine or whatever the hell it is, you know. So they'll but get, it's, it was me who did this because I'm lovely.
And then will the teacher be nicer to Mrs. Kelly's kids then?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. They're moving on to a different class then.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if it's a token gesture and the child is coming home illiterate, then it's a gesture of what exactly?
But in fairness, teaching doesn't begin and end in the classroom. And just because Johnny's spelling is atrocious may not entirely be the teacher's fault. So,
Mammy's fault, then blame the parents, as usual.
Parents have a role to play as well.
Yeah.
I think get over yourself. And I mean, the fact is that I think nowadays, I would imagine, maybe somebody here would know more than me who's younger than me, but I would imagine, I know what happened in our school towards the end, was that the teacher was bought a voucher. Because I would say teachers have enough now of kind of soaps and smelly candles you know, the usual kind of baloney they got. So normally the money was all pooled and it was a voucher that was presented to the teacher for like a one for all voucher or a local shop voucher or whatever.
He'll get a voucher for £1. Euro pounds.
Poundland, yeah. Well, you could buy 20 things there. That's not a bad deal
at
all.
But I think what is shocking is the variation in the amounts that are expected to be donated. Yeah. And I do think it is a token gesture. I think asking every parent in the class for a fiver is plenty enough.
And can you see then on the WhatsApp group who gives what?
Well, he'll never know, but presumably...
On the WhatsApp?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, whoever's organising it will know who gave money.
But you don't have to reply to anything. You just, you know, if it's a Revolut situation, nobody will know.
Just pretend you didn't get the message and don't just ignore it.
God, Mary, that's a bit vindictive.
No, she doesn't want to give it...
Poor
teacher. Well, of course, could be, fresh out of teaching school teacher as well, but...
And so would you... Would you say don't?
She's
them?
Saying don't.
I'd say don't give yourself the bath. If you're going to get away with it.
Yeah. I know, but you won't.
To buy yourself a bottle of wine and don't
Mary,
bother.
Mary who organises it will know.
Oh, you
know, and
Mary.
You don't know. But Mary could tell everyone then.
Huh?
Mary, you tell everyone. Mary will be at the school gate saying, you know, you didn't contribute.
Oh, no, but, you know, but then you'll say, but I did. You might just tell two lies. You've told one, you might as well tell another.
Jesus, that's a war you're starting there, girl.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know.
No, pick your battles. This is
you see, this is why I'm child-free.
So, yes, mixed answers on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm 28. I've been with my fella for 3 years. I'm mad about him. We get on great. He's very thoughtful and we have cracked together. The thing is, he's from a farm in the middle of nowhere. We're talking a good drive away from anything else. Well, of course, it's a farm. It's not going to be in Coolock. The only neighbours are his family, and I know if we take the next step, it would mean me moving down there. I'm there every second weekend at this rate, but I feel like there's pressure now to get engaged and really plan the future. I would love for him to propose, as I've been to so many weddings in the last year or two, but at the same time, I get a sinking feeling that when that happens, I'll have to move there. My job is tied to Dublin, and I would have to completely change the industry and look for something new, probably remote. My friends are scattered around the country, but I feel it would be fairly isolated. He's inheriting the farm, and this is his life path. And I know I want him in my life that have to accept this. I'm not sure I'm cut out for a life of farming. I feel like I'll be lonely and completely cut off. But then again, I'm not sure would he even meet anyone better. He's land after all.
Jenny, man. If I was that farmer, I'd steal very clear, actually. I really would. Like, one minute she's saying there's pressure on, you know, to get married, and she's hoping to propose. So he'll propose. So obviously the pressure's coming from her. And she might like him, but I don't think she seems to be more in love with the idea of getting married rather than actually settling down with someone. That a marriage, exactly.
There might be a bit of I'm
Sharon Shannon said that. She agrees with me.
Okay.
So, but also I will say, in defence of people living in the country, I live in the country. I've lived in the city for. Since when Glenroe was on, I lived in the city all the time. So 20 years, the guts of 20 years. And I've moved back to the country, my own home. And we have, to me, I'd never go back to the city again. We have everything that we want, and we have it in an amount that we can actually cope with. You know what I mean? Mm. I know where I can go to get a really good salad. I know where I can go to get really good coffee. I don't have 97,000 things to choose from. And I don't have to... And also, you're not isolated in the country. When you get your bearings, it only looks isolated from the outside. So if moving to the country is what's keeping you from settling down with this guy, you might get a very rude spot. He might want to spin it out for a bit while longer. I would actually, you know, if you're going down every second weekend, then I'd do another year or two, you know, like, for God's sake.
It's 3 years, though.
It's 3 years, but then
and
he hasn't.
He smells it after maybe.
I think he's just.
He smells.
I think he smells desperation. Myself.
There might be. Well, yeah, she might be feeling a bit of that. But might he be testing her? Are there jobs he might be giving her on the farm, and she's not doing them, or she's doing them badly, and he's kind of going, "Well, you're not farm material, girl." Oh,
well, I suppose. But she wants to come, and I need somebody to shear me sheep. So if she wants to come down, I'll give her an apprenticeship there. But no, I do feel with her. I feel that she's not in it. She's not with the person. She's kind of with an idea of what the life with the person will be. Do you know, and she's not with the person. That's what I just get a feeling for. And you know, I think whether the countryside is isolated or not is very little to do with it. Do you know, because you find your way around things. Do you know?
I do think maybe it's different.
View from the south side of Dublin.
View from the south side. Yeah. I do think it's different if you... Yeah, right, yeah. I do think it's different if you've always lived in the city. You know what I mean? Yeah. You grew up in the country and then you came to the city and went back. And I can understand her...
Well, actually, yeah, she grew up in the country and then came to Dublin and pretended she was in the country for a living and then went back to the country again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
never really left.
That's never
true.
Really left.
Yeah, no, that's true, Mary. Yeah. So I can understand that she would be a little bit kind of worried about life in the country. I do agree with you, though. I don't know if... She actually really loves this fella. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for being pragmatic.
Lady agrees with me there.
Yeah. I'm also being pragmatic about getting married. You know what I mean? You have to look at all the practicalities as well.
Yeah.
And certainly she's doing that. But I didn't hear any of, like, I really love him. I heard, like, somebody better may not come along. So, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's kind of like I'm settling.
I'm mad about him.
Yeah, I'm mad about
she's
him.
She's mad about
like,
him in
I don't
her
know
terms.
She is.
Do you know
what
I mean? And she said nobody else come. Like,
also,
so she's there and Mr. Urban comes along. She's in her farm and Mr. Urban comes along. And she sees this, but she could leave.
Yeah.
You know, I think he should.
Come here, though. Like, if he's the whatever you call it, the designated son who's going to inherit the farm. Like, presumably that's not going to happen for a while. Inheriting the farm, does that depend on the parents being dead? Or
no, it depends on how forward thinking the parents are, because they can't sign it over.
You can't sign it over.
You can. Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it depends on the person. Whether you like living in the country or not, some people are cut out for it and some people aren't. I was brought up in a farm, but I've been living in Galway City since 1988. I tried living in the country for a little while. I moved out of the city and it didn't suit me at all. I was there for 2 years, so, and it didn't suit me. So.
All right, okay.
Maybe that girl, maybe, you know...
Maybe it's not going to suit her.
Yeah, she's down there every other weekend for 3 years. She knows at this stage.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right.
So what are we saying? Are we saying she should ditch and run?
Yeah, he should ditch her.
Ditch and run, or give it another year. I don't know.
There you go, listener. That's a consensus from a boat full of half-foot people on the shot.
Yes.
You should end your three-year relationship. We have two boys. The eldest is 23 and has decided, like many lads of his generation, that Sydney is the place to be. I completely support his decision. I know if I was young again, I'd be off there myself. Not living abroad is something I really regret in life. Now, the thing is that everyone keeps asking my wife, his mother, how she's feeling about him heading away, but kind of ignore that he's my son too and one of my favourite people. I'm so used to him living at home with us. He's the best of company. I drop him to work most mornings and we chat about nothing and about everything. To be honest, I found myself having a quick cry the other night when I thought about it. I don't know why it's hitting me so hard, but it is to be, it really marks a rite of passage and I'm terrified. It'll be years before he's back home again. I'm proud of him, but I'm also devastated for how much I'll miss him.
Aww.
Probably there isn't a parent in the country at this stage that doesn't relate to that.
Yeah,
particularly you, Barbara.
And I certainly relate to it. Yeah, I have three daughters, two of whom live in Australia. And as I've joked about in the past, my next book is going to be How to Raise Independent Children That Want to Live As Far Away From You As Is Physically Possible. Because Australia is lovely, but it's in a really stupid place.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said that, I totally get what this man is talking about. And obviously, you know, the sexism, the reverse kind of sexism that he's experiencing and that everybody's, you know, understanding that the mammy will be upset and kind of leaving him feel a little bit outside it. I do think this is something we don't talk about enough because emigration is such a huge thing and it is really, really hard for parents. Like, for all the gloss you put on it, saying, oh, I just want them to be happy and I'd prefer them there happy than here miserable, which is true. But at the same time, as this guy says so kind of clearly, you miss them. You miss them every day. You miss them. And my eldest daughter is gone 14 years. The other one is gone a year, is gone, no, about 9 months. And I miss the two of them, like all the time. And I remember when the first one went, it was almost like a grief because I was angry. Like I went through the kind of crying and then I got really angry. Like, why was she so far away? Why couldn't I see her whenever I wanted to see her?
Yeah. Mm.
But what I would say to this man, because so far I'm not telling him anything that's going to cheer him up, is that, you know, there are positives. It is very good for them. Most of them do come home. And the other thing is not to rule out going out to see them. I mean, going to Australia was never on my bingo list or whatever you call it until the eldest went out. And then I was like, I couldn't wait to see where her life was and what she was doing. And that made a huge difference to be able to visualize what she was doing and where she was and where she was living. And now I go out to Australia, you know, generally about every year, every 18 months or so. And it's not an arduous journey. And it's great to do that. The other thing I will say is there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that beats the excitement of them coming home, even if it's only for a visit.
Yeah.
I have done so many times in Dublin Airport, literally fizzing with excitement, you know, knowing they're going to come through that door any minute and you're going to be able to hug them. And you haven't seen them for over a year. Like, it's yeah. Oh God, this wasn't part of the plan. But it is. That is incredible. So you know, I feel this guy's pain clearly, but most of them come home, and any homecoming, even if it's only for a holiday, is fantastic.
Yeah. Because I've yet another one who's going to be leaving the country in August. Oh. But the thing is, like 4 out of my 5 are grown up. They don't, you know, live in my house anyway. Yeah. And so they become around, you go, oh, you know, they'll come around each other house and home, and you won't get a word in edgeways.
Yeah.
Then as soon as they're leaving, you go, oh.
I know. And I know what my eldest, I mean, you know, you live for years with the chaos. I have 3. And when they were all at home, the absolute chaos, and especially as they were teenagers, you know, shoes everywhere, coats everywhere, bags everywhere, like washing everywhere. And I remember I used to say to my, it's time you moved out. Look at this mess, like you're too old for this.
And then
she did move out, and she moved, like, as I say, the furthest way possible.
I can show you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think he should. I think I absolutely or completely understand what you're saying. But I think also, what he is going to go. The son is going to go. So I think there are things he can actually maybe organise, like quite a quick visit, maybe if money is okay and the guy is okay, the son is okay with it. But to kind of just to lessen the sorrow you feel by planning a trip, maybe 3 months hence or 6 months hence. And then just always don't forget FaceTiming and all of that. I know it's not the same, but it's not the thing of, you know, they're gone to the end of the earth and you won't ever hear their voice. You won't, you know, you got to start using the positives to try and make it easier for yourself.
And the other thing I'll say to this guy, and it possibly might be more appropriate for his wife than him, they'll still ring you every time something goes wrong. No matter how ridiculous. The second one who went ahead lives in Melbourne, and obviously they're in winter at the moment, and Melbourne is further south than Perth where the other one is, so it's cold. I get a text the other day that just said, a WhatsApp, emergency. And I mean, your heart stops.
Oh, stop.
And then a few minutes later, if I take in my clothes, will they dry in the house?
Oh, for God's sake.
That's an important question.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't know. Like, seriously, she's got a degree.
Not in clothes drying, no.
Education.
That's the stuff life teaches you.
So you'll still have that below.
You still have that.
Yeah.
No, so, God love you. Best of luck with that. Barbara and Mary, thank you both very much. Afternoon@newstalk.com. If you have any questions for So You Think You're an Adult, you are listening to the Moncrief Show on Newstalk.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on Newstalk.